Then again, the muscle just takes time to develop. To gain 1 pound of actual muscle, you have to develop 1 mile of vascular structure in your body. And you just can't do this in a one-day period. So nobody gains a pound of muscle a day. It takes time, and it takes a lot of hard work. During the off-season, are you in good enough condition to perform for any request posing exhibition? Well, I try to stay in good condition year-round because I'm doing the feats of strength, but for myself, I don't consider myself in great condition always. To perform feats of strength, you have to be healthy. I like to have the movement that I have, the freedom of movement. I'm not restricted in any way. I don't really have large arms. I'm very fast at kung fu movements. I stay in good enough shape for myself. I don't think I consider that top contest shape, though. Do you ever work the body part more than once a day? Well, I did this with calves. I worked calves twice a day and actually stretched them maybe 5-6 times during that day on stairs where I just allow my heels to drop as low as they could. If you have a problem area, you want to overtrain it is what you want to do to cause it to develop, to cause it to react and grow larger. You want to overtrain it. And there is no actual rule that training it 5 times a day is too much. If you train it 5 times a day, it's got to react to that. Something has to happen. It's either going to get stronger, bigger, but it's got to react to it. Do you place specialized work at the beginning or end of your workout? I used to like to put my hard-to-gain areas in the beginning so I could work the hardest at them. I'd go into the gym and I would attack the one muscle that I was training on. I think throughout my training, I took one muscle and tried to develop it more than the others. I'd work everything, but if my biceps were, for example, the one muscle that I wanted to emphasize the most, I would do them at the beginning of the workout when I had the most energy. Okay, how many weeks or months do you allow yourself to bring the lagging body part up to par by specialization? Well, I think maybe 3 months of specializing on any exercise would be enough. I, for example, though, went 1 year specializing on my calves, training calves a couple times a day. Several times I trained for an hour just on calves alone, a tremendous amount of work I do on calves. I'd handle 1,500 pounds in different positions, leg press. I got to the point where I could do 1,500 pounds with 1 foot for repetitions, over 30, 40 repetitions. How many exercises will you normally use for a body part? Well, depending on how you want to develop that body part or what body part that is. For example, biceps only have one movement, and that's lifting the arm up because they only have the two heads. Chest, for example, a little more complicated. Shoulders, more complicated than that. The more tie-ins and connections you have on a muscle, the more exercises you need. For shoulders, for example, you could do 5 exercises, wouldn't be considered too much. Now for biceps, there's really only the one curl movement. You can do it with dumbbells, barbell, easy curl bar. You can do it on a squat bench. You could do it standing. You could do it with your arms turned in or out. But it's basically the one pull-up movement. Now shoulders being different than that, lats being different than that, you can do and you need to do several different exercises, I think, for these more complicated muscles, because they actually do different movements. They pull your arms down or they pull them to the back. Anytime that the muscle has more than the two basic connections, you have to do more than one exercise for sure. Okay, let's find some more questions here. Okay, next question. What do you use as a guide to gauge your overall total development from month to month up to the week of the contest? Well, I gauge my development with how I'm feeling in the gym, how much I'm lifting. Am I lifting hard enough? I use the mirror a lot to gauge my actual development. I think 3 months before a contest, I start working on a posing routine. 1 month before the contest, I want to have that routine down, the poses selected, and I want to be able to have 1 month of just that one posing routine after selecting the poses to work on it, to develop it, to work on bringing all the striations out that you possibly can, work on bringing the veins out. Do you find it valuable to have a training partner? Yes, I do. I've trained with a training partner several times. My younger brother, Bill, was my training partner for years. We got tremendous workouts. For years, I trained with Clinton Byerly as a training partner. We got tremendous workouts. A training partner can be used to inspire you, to make you train harder. And if this happens, if you train harder with a training partner, by all means, use them. Presently, I train by myself, or I grab somebody in the gym that may be doing arms at the same time I'm doing arms and use them like this. But a training partner definitely has a lot of value. How do you gauge your workout tempo? Well, I do it by my exhaustion rate. If I'm too tired, I take a little more time to rest. As soon as I'm recuperated, I don't think it takes but a minute to ever recuperate from anything. If you run four or five miles, it only takes me a minute, and I feel like I can get off and run again. So I never take a long time to rest. But it depends, again, on your recuperation, your heartbeats, your blood pressure, how fast you recuperate from the exercise, and how intense the exercise was. Next question. Related to the important points of proper mental attitude, show how this facet during a pre-contest program works out as compared to the off-season. Well, in a pre-contest program, of course, it gets more intense. You know the contest is coming up. That's what you're training for. You train harder. I think it inspires everybody that competes to train harder when it gets closer to the contest. Again, then the mental attitude is everything in training. The harder you can make yourself go into that gym and train, the more you're going to get out of it. Concentration. In bodybuilding, this is achieved in many different ways. Some like to train in silence, while others like to train with sound of music. And finally, Okay, concentration. Well, as far as the music, when I train, I don't hear the music. I'm in there just to do one thing. I'm concentrating on my actual weightlifting. I never hear the music. I don't hear people in the gym laughing, screaming, telling jokes. I'm in there just to do the one thing that I want to do, and that's to train hard. So I don't let anything interfere with me as far as the atmosphere of the gym, the background noises, music being played or not. I think anybody that's training hard has to have the ability to focus everything out of his mind to concentrate on what he's doing, the actual weightlifting. Okay, next question. How many months before an important contest or posing exhibition do you begin selecting or arranging a posing routine? Well, as I said before, 3 months before, and at the very least 1 month before, you have to have your poses down and be practicing them for a month. Do you perform this posing routine after or immediately after a workout or some other time in the day? I used to do my posing when I got home at night. I would go home after showering from the gym, and I'd get in front of the mirror, and I'd work 1 hour. Every night I'd work 1 hour on posing. I'd do my isometric flexing, tensing, some chi exercises in the mirror, and then work on my posing exhibition, my posing routine. Next question. For you personally, what is the best hour of the day for training? Well, I used to train around the 5 to 7. I felt I had a lot of strength at this time, and I got used to training at that time. I think you need to set aside a time. It doesn't matter if you train in the morning, the evening, the afternoon. As long as you train the same time every day, your body can adjust and get used to exerting that amount of energy at that time. So I think it's not so important what time that you train, but it's important that you train at the same time every day. I've since changed my training to now I train presently. I train in the mornings. I've never been able to get up and do very much of anything in the morning. I'm kind of a slow riser. But I've changed my schedule around to train in the mornings, and I'm getting a lot out of it now because my body's adjusted to morning workouts. Do you train right up to the day of the contest or the day of travel? Do you taper off training before, blah, blah? I would train right up to the contest, but always kind of much more pumping, I think. You're not going to develop any more muscle right before the contest, so I think I would change my routine a couple weeks before and just go through a lot more pumping exercises, I think, trying to get that really full look by flushing the muscle thoroughly. Do you pump up before posing? Well, before posing, I've noticed that the teenage competition, for example, that the guys get out there and they do all that weightlifting and pumping up, and they probably take away most of their cuts, and they probably take away most of their ability to demonstrate and to show the muscle because they're overpumped. You can't really show off your biceps, for example, if you're overpumped. They may look a little bigger in the gym, but they're not going to look better on the posing platform. So I think the best thing to do, and I've noticed what most everyone does say in a Mr. America competition, is to actually do their posing routine backstage just to themselves in a little circle there. They sit there and they keep tensing and hitting these poses. I think that's the best way to get warmed up, is just to tense the actual muscles, go through the posing routine a couple times, and very little pumping. For example, pumping would take the cuts out of your thighs. So I don't believe in actually doing any weightlifting before posing exhibition. I'd rather do the posing. Okay, next question. After competing in an important national contest, do you ever take a complete layoff from training? If so, how long? If there's ever time to take a layoff, it's probably after competing in a national contest, because you try to peak for these contests, you try to put everything together for the contest, and the proper time to take a layoff is after the contest. I would lay off for 2-3 days, and that's about it. Unless I went to a contest where I didn't get place as well as I thought I should, I may come back the very next day, that very same day, and continue training, try to train harder. After a physique contestant is retired from competition, what basic changes should he make in his diet and his exercise program? Well, that depends on the individual. If he wants to keep the body, he's going to have to keep going into the gym and keep lifting the weights. There's no way to keep large muscles without using them. And in daily living, you just don't use your muscles enough to keep large arms, for example, if you don't do the weightlifting, because there is nothing in day-to-day living that requires you to lift 200-300 pounds with your arms. So, of course, to develop muscles is one thing, to keep them is another, to keep healthy is still another thing. I go into the gym and I try to keep strong and keep healthy. I'm not trying to develop larger muscles. So I go into the gym now and I can do, for example, 1/5 of what I used to do to try to build the muscles to maintain them. I could go into the gym 2 days a week for an hour and a half and probably maintain forever. But when I go into the gym, I have to honestly work hard at it. I can't just go in there and expect to stay in some kind of shape without putting the effort forward. So I think all bodybuilders have to put a genuine effort into staying in shape after they get out of competitive competition. Well, that kind of finishes the interview here. Maybe I'll add some other things. As I said before, I'm actually more interested in my feats of strength now. I've performed 5 feats of strength I don't think anybody else in the world can equal. That's breaking handcuffs, bending coins, everything up to a quarter, tearing tennis balls in half. I've bent a 1-inch bar, which is your standard weightlifting bar, over my knee. I've done a hanging where I've dropped 6 feet, hands tied behind the back, single rope, and live through this. I don't want to do that anymore. I do an exhibition now where I have no drop, which is very simple for me. I don't think the average person, though, has enough strength in his neck to do this. I have a repertoire of over 50 feats of strength that I can perform. I've performed everything I've ever seen done. So I'm very capable of doing feats of strength. I enjoy that, I think, the most of anything I've gotten into. I want to continue doing that, and that means continue to stay in some kind of shape. Also, this year I got into a different sport. I got into full contact martial arts fighting. I've never really been interested in being a fighter, and I'm still not. I went over to Tokyo, Japan to fight a man that fought Muhammad Ali, Antonio Inoki. Fought him and fought to a draw. I thought I won the fight, but they gave it a draw. Before that, I had 8 professional fights. I had 8 wins in that. I fight in the heavyweight division, which I'm kind of light for a heavyweight. I get down to 192 pounds, between 192 and 198 pounds, which is kind of light for a heavyweight. This kind of fighting has never been seen in the United States because it's not like Taiwanese kickboxing, Chinese kickboxing, or full contact karate fighting. For example, in all these other full contact karate or Taiwanese kickboxing, you're not allowed to kick the opponent's knees or his groin. You're not allowed to bite. You're not allowed to gouge eyes. In full contact martial arts, it's more or less anything goes. It's only been around for 5 years now. It's very popular in Japan. It's popular in other parts of the world, but it's never really been seen in the United States. I think that's because it's just too gruesome to watch. I don't enjoy watching it myself. I want to go back over one time, possibly twice, and have the rematch that I have coming with Antonio Inoki, so I could win the championship, and then I'll give him one turn at his turn at a rematch, and I hope I beat him then, and then I'm going to retire from that. I'm just doing that to get a feather in my cap, more or less, to so I can say I'm a heavyweight champion of the world in full contact martial arts fighting. I want to do a lot more television work. I just did a show called Guinness Game. It's a game show. It's a takeoff on Guinness Book of World Records, where they have a Guinness official there. Contestants come out and bet on the actual performers if they can do or can't do the feat of strength, and they bet so much money, X amount of dollars. Well, I went out there, and they didn't want me to do any of my standard feats of strength, like breaking handcuffs or something. So they came up with 8 objects. They wanted me to bend, tear, rip in half, or destroy in one way or another inside of 2 minutes. So what they chose for me was a baseball bat, a red brick, a cinder block, a license plate, a telephone book, a large screwdriver, and bolt cutters. And I had to bend, break, or rip in half all these objects in 2 minutes, which, of course, I did. That should be seen on TV next month or so. You might watch a TV guide for that. I'm sure it's going to be up there, too. I plan to go back on that show and set a whole host of records. They have 4 other appearances booked for me to perform on that show, Guinness Game. So I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to doing some TV commercials, getting some parts in the movies. I've had several of the martial arts films come to me, want me to be in their movies. But I'm not really looking to be a second Bruce Lee or anything like this. I want to get into something that's mine alone. I don't really want to copy Bruce Lee or follow in his footsteps, so I've stayed away from that. I do plan to perform more feats of strength and greater feats of strength in the future than I ever have now. I don't think I'm anywhere near my peak as far as strength or what I've done. I attempted to jump off the Golden Gate Bridge earlier this year. That was promoted by Jack LaLanne. It was stopped, actually, when I was on the bridge. The police came out there, closed the bridge off. They barricaded it to traffic, to foot traffic. They kept all the cameramen and all the reporters from going out on the bridge. And when I drove through the barricade, they were in hot pursuit, the police, and they arrested me on the bridge, stopped me from jumping. So Jack LaLanne took George Moscone, the mayor of San Francisco, out to lunch, out to dinner or something, and got his permission to do it. 2 days later, Moscone was killed in office, so that cut the Golden Gate Bridge there. We went to the next mayor who has the permission to let you do this or not do this, and that was Dianne Feinstein, who said, we don't want any more bad publicity for San Francisco, and she didn't want me to try the bridge jump. So more or less, I'm sitting on that, waiting for Dianne Feinstein to get out of office, actually, so I can actually do the bridge jump. I think that should be an event that's done on Wide World of Sports, CBS Sports Spectacular, and done live, so I can get the most benefit out of it. Well, I think that about concludes it. I think I mentioned everything. If there's anything else you'd want to know from me, just feel free to call or write me a letter here. Making this tape wasn't as bad as I thought it would be. I think this is the first one I've ever taped interview to send to anybody. Although I've done an awful lot of radio interviews over the phone, and they sent me tapes of those. Well, Dennis, I think that about wraps it up. So I hope you come out with a good story. I'm looking forward to seeing it, and thank you very much.